Hi, beautiful friends. Welcome to the Spirit and Soul Healing Podcast. I'm your host, Amy Sikarski, and I'm so happy to invite you to a special episode today. So if you haven't heard, I have a sister show, a TV show called The Spirit and Soul Healing Show, and it's currently airing at newrealitytv.com. Shortly, it will be on different platforms where you can watch it on TV, like Roku, Amazon Fire Stick, Apple TV, and so on. Season one has been a curated, beautiful experience where I shared select episodes that are also on the podcast. And the benefit is you get all the visuals and it kind of goes in a curated space and order. Season one is focusing on channeling. We'll have a bonus for you all today. So as we are in the space between season one, season two, I felt really called to invite my awesome friend, Teresa Nguyen, to the show. And Teresa and I had a wonderful conversation about her experiences channeling and working with dragons. Amazing. If you are new to dragon energy or channeling or energy healing and readings in general, like buckle up. It's a great, great conversation. So the bonus is that I'm going to share this one here on the podcast. And I encourage you all to also check out the show at newrealitytv.com. I'll put the links below because I have season two, like it's almost ready to be released. I am finalizing some episodes and uploading them all, getting them ready, but they've been filmed and just a few edits here and there. And I'm really excited. Like this is a one-man show here. And so that's what it is for now. Maybe in the future, I'll be able to hire some assistants, but I have produced and edited and hosted and channeled like everything. So it's taken a bit of time to get it visually like stimulating for TV. And so excited. Would love to feel your love and support over at New Reality TV as well. And until then, like I am so happy that you are here. Thank you for connecting. And also want to remind you that I have some wonderful experiences and opportunities and community involvement and events at spiritschoolonline.com. So I'll put the links below. And thank you so much for showing up for yourself, for investing in your energetic alignment and health and edification of all things spiritual and soulful and healing. And I look forward to sharing this episode with you. So before we do, please give a like, please follow or subscribe on whatever platform you're on if you are enjoying all of the content, and of course, share with a friend. Love you all so, so much. From my heart to yours, here is our beautiful conversation with Teresa Nguyen.
It was the moment in time when I could not pretend that dragon energy did not exist.
Beyond time and space lies the truth of your soul. A remembrance, ancient, powerful, and wise, waiting to awaken. In the stillness between breaths, you're called back to your essence, to the wisdom of lifetimes, to the energy that heals, to the light that was never lost. This is where healing begins, where messages from spirit meet the knowing within you, where energy awakens and your journey of soul transformation unfolds. Welcome to the Spirit and Soul Healing Show. I'm Amy Sikarski, Master Energy Therapist, Clairvoyant Physical Channeler for the Council of Light and Archangels, and Spiritual Mentor. I invite you to today's episode where you can feel the light pour in, activate your own soul codes, and find wisdom and support to help you on your ascension and healing journey. Let the transformations begin. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Spirit and Soul Healing Show. I'm your host, Amy Sikarski, and I'm a master energy therapist and channeler, and I'm so excited to bring on my channeler friend, Teresa Nguyen. Hi, Teresa. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Amy. Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Oh, you're so welcome. I'm really excited for our conversation today, too, because since we've last spoken, I know you've had so many advances and expansions in your channeling practice. We'll start at the very beginning. How did you discover channeling, and about how long ago was that for you?
I don't really remember anymore, Amy. Was it like seven? However long I have known you, basically, is, you know, like that's when my channeling journey started, because I met you and Nicole at a channeling event. And then I went in to look into detail more about what you guys do. And you had offered a learn to channel class shortly after that. And that's when the whole channeling journey started. I didn't really know what it was. My goal and my intention was to trust my own intuition and kind of understand, you know, what does that feel like and what does that really mean? Even though I was kind of dabbling in the spiritual space, I didn't know how serious I wanted to get with that, but I knew that I was really interested in what you and Nicole were offering. And when I took the course, I'll be very transparent, I didn't finish the whole thing. I made all sorts of excuses, you know, too busy, whatever. I tried my best and I was like, okay, I'm learning some things. I will say though, one of the things you guys were walking us through was basically clearing our chakras. And that's the one thing I did every single morning, every single night. And that was one of the first times I had ever received images. Like it was like images on a movie screen, you know, and it was so fast. I couldn't even keep up with it. It was during like sort of like a dream and wake state in the middle of night. It's like you were woken up and then you're not quite awake, but yeah, you're aware enough to know that like something's going on. And so I thought that was really fascinating. I had no idea what it was because it was just a bunch of images just flashing before my eyes. And then I would get this big flash of color, different colors all at different times, like white and green and purple and orange. Like it was just really interesting. And, you know, I am very analytical. I still am. As a healer intuitive, it's hard to turn it off, you know. So I was just in my head as all of that is going, I'm like, what does this mean? Like, why is it going so fast? Like, I need to see the images, you know, it's like too fast. And anyways, this went on for like 5 minutes, but it felt like forever because here I am just trying to pay attention to what it is that I'm seeing. And I think that kind of hooked me. It was like, okay, like, look what we can show you, or look what it is that you're experiencing now. And it made me excited. Like I wasn't scared. I was really excited. And I was like, okay, show me more. Like, what is this magic about? And honestly, I think it was just an activation of my third eye, you know, looking back, which is a big deal to me, you know, because the way I own something as a truth, I have to see it. Like I need like data, although I've done that too. But I think for this particular thing, for me to trust my third eye, I had to see. And then that kind of got the ball rolling. By the end of the channeling class, though, when we got to the physical channeling, the vocal channeling, the trance channeling, I was like, no, never want to do this. You know, it's like way too freaky. There's still a lot of fear of possession, fear of, you know, not being in control, fear of inviting energies that aren't wanted in my body, and just a, you know, the vast unknown of what that would be. And honestly, I didn't think that I was even good enough. You know, I was like, not that I wasn't worthy enough, I wasn't skilled enough. Mm-hmm. I think that also just was, I was like, there's, even if I wanted to, I'm just you know, I don't have the skill set yet to do this. But anyways, I don't have an interest. So I'm not going to, I didn't even look at it, you know, yeah. Like I just completely avoided it. So then, you know, time went on and I stepped into becoming an energy healer. And then dragons started sort of coming into my life, not in the same way dragons are working with me now, but very much at a superficial level. It was just kind of like, oh, did you know that there's dragon energy that you could work with? I just thought that was super fascinating. And at the time, there was not a lot of information out there. There still isn't a ton, but like no one could tell me what it was. No one could describe to me. All I knew was that the energy is similar to the dragons that you see like in books and movies, you know. So when you think of dragon energy, you can think of like Puff the Magic Dragon, right?
Yes.
So that kind of energy. I never thought of dragon energy as negative anyway, because in my culture, they're symbols of wisdom and reverence and really connected to ancestors. So it was a positive thing. It was never negative, a spiritual energy for me. So for me, it was just a lot of curiosity. I still felt like they were make-believe, mystical, not really like an archangel type of energy where I feel like I can grasp that, you know? Dragons are just a little out there. And man, there's so many, I feel like there's so many moments that spirit tried to send me and show me, and I still denied that reality of working with that energy. Mm-hmm. So through other mentors, they introduced me to dragon energy, and I still wasn't like, I didn't buy into it yet. I was just kind of like, well, I'm not feeling anything. Like, what's the difference between this and Reiki? You know, like there's no differentiation for me. So why should I be working with this energy if I can't feel the difference?
Right.
Yeah. And nobody can tell me or articulate to me, you know, what this energy can offer to, right?
Right.
So then we'll fast forward.
Okay.
Was it 2022? I always get mixed up in chat.
Yes, I think so.
Yeah. So 2022, so. Amy has a retreat and it's in Mount Shasta. I was looking at it. I was like, oh, I'm not sure. I've never really heard of Mount Shasta. It doesn't like give me like, yeah, I really need to go. But I thought, well, that's kind of interesting. I still wasn't like going to register or anything. And I think it was a couple weeks before the retreat or something. Amy is texting me at 2 a.m.
Yeah.
Sends me like 5 paragraphs. And the next morning I check it. She had hired some chefs and they all backed out. Or
yes,
whatever
they did.
And so it's like 2 weeks before the retreat, Amy is like desperate. She thinks of me because I actually was an attendee at one of her retreats, but I also offered to cook because I was looking at the menu and I was like, no, we're not eating this. Let me cook for you. And so she was like, oh, had offered, generously offered to hire me as their chef and help to support the retreat. And I was like, hey, free trip, why not? And I get to hang out with Amy. So, of course, I said yes. Before we went, though, I had experienced a couple of plant medicine ceremonies where the dragon energy was introduced to me. Like, I knew that what it was. Still didn't understand it, but I knew the energy. So giving people some context as we kind of share what happens in Mount Shasta. And then Amy tells me that we're going to have a sound healing on that first night. And immediately I knew something was going to happen. I didn't know what it was going to look like. I didn't know what it was going to feel like. And I remember telling Amy, I think something's going to happen, but just like keep an eye on me, you know. I was really worried though, because I didn't want people to think like I was taking the attention away from their own healing, being disruptive, whatever that might look like. And so anyways, we have dinner, we go into the yurt, and like my heart just starts pounding outside of my chest and I don't know what's going on. I'm, you know, excited to experience this sound healing because usually I'm the one facilitating, not the one receiving. So
yeah.
I just wanted to receive, but I wasn't like that excited to receive, you know?
Yes.
When my heart like starts to race, I'm like, okay, this is weird. Why is my heart like racing right now? I thought, oh, maybe it's like the elevation. I don't know. And it gets to the point where I can't stop it. I can't slow it down with deep breaths or just like trying to calm myself down. There's nothing to help me feel more relaxed. And I thought, if this gets really bad, I'm going to like pass out or something. But I'm like, well, that's okay. Amy will be able to tell by the end of this home that if I'm not awake, then she's just going to have to deal with that. You know? Oh my God. And so the sound bath facilitator starts to drum. And that first time she hits the drum, oh my God, my whole entire body was like, boom. And it just started vibrating and expanding with every single pounding of the drum. And then this energy that's just started to kind of grow within me would not stop. It got stronger, more intense. And that's kind of when I got scared because I didn't know what was going on. I didn't know why I had this energy that was growing. I knew if I opened my mouth, something would happen. And again, it was just like the unknown of what that might look like, what that might be. I knew it was enormous though. It was whatever energy that was growing or contained in this body, it needed to be expressed by opening my mouth. I knew that much. So we got to this point where I couldn't hold it any longer. Like I was like constricting my body. Like I was just trying to hold it in physically as much as I could. And it just, I couldn't anymore. I was just exhausted. And I think it was only like maybe 5 or 7 minutes into the sound healing, you know?
Yeah.
And I just surrendered. I surrendered, one, because I knew Amy would hear me. And I already told her about it. So she kind of was aware of it. But as soon as I surrendered and allowed this energy to be expressed, it started making these really weird noises. But, you know, my mouth was making these clicking noises and hissing noises and tongue rolls. And then my body starts to convulse. And I'm freaking thinking I'm having a seizure, but at the same time, I'm totally aware, you know, like I'm in my body, I'm in this space. I have all these thoughts running through my head. Amy comes running over. She's like, I'm here. She touches the top of my head. And I was like, okay, I'm safe. You know, I kind of just like relax into the, I try to at least relax into the energy and just allow now. Cause now like whatever's going on, Amy will clean it up. You know, if it's not meant to be, Amy's going to take care of it. And so that safe space, knowing that I was like in this container to allow this energy to flow however it needed to, and knowing that nothing negative or nothing unwanted would happen to me because I had this safe space and someone I trusted to be with me, I basically was able to experience this dragon energy. You know, it's like maybe about 5 minutes into the experience, I opened my eyes and I saw the dragons flying above the yurt. And I was like, holy, that's when it was dragons. And I was like, what the heck? There's dragons in my body. And Amy confirmed that with me later when she had said they were channeling through you and telling you which chakras to open so one could leave.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
As one was leaving, you were closing the chakra and opening another for another dragon to come through. And I was like, you cannot make this up. This is so crazy, right?
And yeah.
I mean, I was making all sorts of noises for, I don't know, maybe a good half hour to 40 minutes. And as the sound bath was winding down, Amy was like, okay, it's ending. And I'm like, okay, you guys can leave now. And no, like they were so excited to be in a human body,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
And I told them, they're not leaving. They're not leaving. I don't know what else to do, you know? So I let them continue to be in this body. And I honestly just wanted them to, for me to continue to experience it. Cause I kept thinking, is this real? Is this real? And finally, I think I learned that because they're dragons, they're not humans. You have to be real firm with them, right? They're like this wild, raw, primal energy. So being gentle and being like, you guys can go now, you know, not going to work with them.
Right.
I was like, okay, that's enough. You know, like this is my body. I need it back. You guys need to leave. If you don't leave, you don't get to come back. You know, like we can't play like this anymore if you don't leave. So eventually they left, but my body was still like jerking from like the energy. You know, it's like when you get electrocuted, although I've never been electrocuted before. I'm thinking about how like the what do you call that, Amy? Like the effects of after you get electrocuted. Is it just the after effects? I don't know.
I don't know anything other than after effects.
Yeah. So yeah. Like my body's still like jerking after that. But it was the moment in time when I could not pretend that dragon energy did not exist. And it was the first time in my life where I could feel what it was. And I knew like that this was not the typical kind of energy that I've experienced before. And that's when I started channeling, basically I started channeling dragons through light language in the beginning, not to the public. This was literally in my closet, you know, where I was just like in my safe little bubble. And then I channeled with Amy and another friend a couple times, and then with a group of friends another time. It was really important for me to get that validation from you, Amy, and from my friends, because you guys are seasoned channelers, right? And I needed to know, like, I wasn't just making this up, that this was actually real. So when you guys were saying, like, I could feel the energy, or you were feeling different things in your body, I needed to hear that to know, like, that this was something that was legit. And I wasn't just in my head or trying to make it up. And I mean, you can't make this up anyway. I was moving my tongue in all sorts of places. And I tell people all the time, you know, like, this is not something, like, you want to do. It's just, like, happens to do it, you know, where, I mean, people who are watching this have seen me channel. They'll see my tongue move. It's fast now. But in the beginning, it was just, it was tongue movements. It was very, it felt really erotic. And I was ashamed by that because I had my own stories about sexuality that I had to work through. And through the encouragement of a friend, and I think part of me needed this, but through an encouragement of a friend, she was saying, you know, I think dragons actually want to speak English through you. And the thing with light language is like, you don't need to interpret it. So it was very, for me, it was just like very easy. There's no like word for word translation, right? You can share with people like an overall message, but it's not like a sound equals a word. So I felt very safe with that in sharing like an overall transmission message or the purpose of this transmission or activation through dragon light language. But to then be encouraged to channel in English, dragon energy in English, I was like, oh, I don't know about that because I'm not sure I'm legit. I'm not sure. Even after all of that, even after working with dragon energy now for maybe, you know, at that point, 2 or 3 years, I was like really resistant to sharing a message with the dragon energy or through the dragons and being able to express it in English. I was doubting myself again. And so then I just, again, practice and sharing with others, seeing it, the message resonated. And also, like with you and with our friend Nicole, your voice changes. And I kind of didn't want my voice to change because I didn't want people to criticize me or try to analyze if I'm trying to like make up the different dialect or sound or accent that was coming out of my mouth. So I kind of wanted to shield myself from all of that, thinking if I channel in English, I want to protect myself. So I'm not going to have these people judging me and calling me out. And I think that was my worst fear, is someone calling me out as a fake. They're probably calling me out as a fake already doing this light language channeling anyway. So like, what's the difference? It's just two different languages. Again, through practice and just trying to walk with my fear versus being paralyzed by my fear. But it's been received really well. And like, I mean, that's basically how I got to channeling. So I tried to make it short, but I feel like I had to like share all those little pieces.
Yes.
Share with people like, how did I get to this point? Yeah. So it's a long journey.
Oh my gosh. Thank you for sharing. I have some questions because Yes, I like want to dive a little bit deeper into a couple of things. Well, first we'll go back to, never mind. We'll go back even further. I was doing the math. It was 2021 was our retreat. So you've actually been channeling a year. It started a year before what we thought. But the class was in 2018, the channeling class. And so in the channeling class, we speak about all forms of channeling, one being a light language and also physical channeling, which yours is a combination of both at this point. But when we were in Mount Shasta in this beautiful year, I think there were about 20 people there. And what I wanted to highlight for our listeners is that there was no plant medicine at this experience. So it was sound medicine. And we both had an understanding that something potentially big was going to happen. And I was sitting across from you at the other side of the circle. And when I heard the dragons come in, at first I thought it was an instrument. And I was like, oh, this is a really unique instrument. What is this? I thought, is this a rain stick? Like, I wasn't quite sure.
Yeah.
And then I listened a little bit more and I thought, oh, one of the sound practitioners must be doing some kind of light language. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, no. And I just like my energy went toward you. I was like, oh, there's some kind of magic about to happen here. Teresa's like having a full experience. So when I went over to be by you, that's when the dragons and my team started telepathically communicating to me what was happening, and then I could communicate to you in English what I was experiencing. And I think that's so important to have a safe space, mentors, other facilitators who are clairvoyant and have their gifts about them so that they can help you vet the spirit, vet the energy. Yeah. And at that point, I also saw so many dragons. I was like, oh, these are your dragons. Like they are here for you. So that was a beautiful experience at the beginning of like your very first letting it come through and having that trust and allowing for the experience without judgment. To see just, you know, where it goes, where it unfolds. And they were so excited to be there. And they were very loving, very excited. That's why they didn't want to leave. This was new for them, too. They were checking out, like, feeling what it was like to become small and go into a human body. And it was quite the, like, really beautiful experience. So I just wanted to share from my perspective, like, what I was experiencing. And also, before the retreat, I kept getting like images of you in Shasta. And then I was like, well, she didn't sign up. And then I was like, I don't know if she wants to sign up as a guest, you know? So like, it all made sense at the end when I was like, oh yeah, I saw you there. You were going to be there.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was so nice. But then fast forward to when you're speaking about light language and then incorporating English with it, I can absolutely relate to that as well. When I channeled the Council of Light, their energy was so strong that when it will come through my, and still when it comes through my vocal cords, it creates this vibration and this accent. And also that's something that feels really good to me because I'm like, there's no way I'm making this up, you know? And as we start off as a channeler, that's, we're like checking ourselves, like, is this legit? Is this happening? Am I safe? We're using discernment. We go to mentors and friends and ask for feedback. And I loved your process in that, how you had a lot of discernment about it. I feel like you have asked for others to hold space and give you that feedback and be with you while your gifts develop and your relationship with the dragons enhances. So if you want to share. Hi, friends. I hope you are enjoying the podcast. This episode is brought to you in part by my school, spiritschoolonline.com, where I share guided energy sessions, informative group experiences, classes in energy therapy and readings, meditations, and more. If you're looking for a community and support to assist you in your awakening and spiritual practice, I would love to support you. Check out Spirit School today. For everybody, where are you today now that you're incorporating English in with their light language? How has that been for you?
It's been really interesting because people want to understand. So if people are not open to just receiving healing or activations or transmissions through light language, they're like really attached to understanding like why that transmission is coming through. So mm-hmm. when I'm able to incorporate both, when I'll start with an activation and just tell people like a very high level purpose of the activation, and then following that with a message from the group of dragons. I gave the name to these dragons. They did not want names attached to them. So I gave them name just so I don't call them dragons, you know? So I call them the Dragon Collective. They're basically a group of dragons. So when the Dragon Collective comes through and speaks English, then they can sort of release that expectation of trying to understand the light language transmission that has come through. And now they're allowing whatever that has been sent through the light language for them to be received, because I'm now mm-hmm. coming in with English with the Dragon Collective, you know. So I see that as very complimentary to help people be able to have less resistance when they're showing up for a healing experience, or when they're showing up for wanting to have some clarity, whatever it is that their reason is for showing up for a healing session, for example. And I never thought like I would actually be able to somehow articulate this in a way like the light language and the channeling the dragons in a way where I could like explain to people through a course or a program, or even like if they wanted to sit down with me and just share about it. It mm-hmm. was still really hard for me to explain, you know. It's like, how do I ground this into human terms? So I really worked a lot with the dragons, especially when they were speaking English, to be able to share this so that other people could learn how to do it too, you know. Like, how can we share this energy with others, especially those who are feeling so pulled and so called to work with dragon energy. Eventually, it's led into a course on, I call it vocal expansion and light language mastery, where you're using the sound of your voice to basically open up all your chakras. And then we incorporate different approaches, a different embodiment exercises to help you get comfortable with being... I'll just say it like doing weird things, doing strange things, things that you're just uncomfortable with. Because honestly, if you're going to work with dragons, I feel like one of the big things that keeps people from doing that is because it feels so weird. So if you can get past the weird, if you can, you know, if we're working on getting weird every single week, by the seventh week and we've worked on the seventh chakra getting weird, it's not so weird anymore. It's, you know, like this definition that we've given to weird, it no longer has that same pull. It's just more like, it is weird, but I'm embracing it. It's weird, but it's okay. Like I feel, you know, like I feel so much joy in it. And so that was one of the things that came into creation, something that I was able to put out there to help people develop not just a light language, but be able to express through their, you know, throat chakra. So many of us have blocks with communication, whether it's communicating our emotions, our needs, our desires, opinions, you know, and having been somebody who has, for most of her life, been really shy. I'll finally say I'm not shy. I keep telling people I'm shy. I better own, like, that I'm not shy anymore, okay? I used to be super introverted. I mean, I still am, you know, like, certain qualities, but I guess what I'm saying is, I'm okay putting myself out there for the good of the collective, knowing like that I can't hide anymore. I can't pretend like this is just for me. I can't. And this has nothing to do with ego. It's just that, Amy, you've felt the dragon energy.
Yeah.
You've seen like the work that I do. And we're all here as teachers and mentors and models for people so that they feel like they can do it too, like they feel confident enough to do it too, remembering, you know, like that everyone is on their own journey, not necessarily that somebody is at a higher level. It's just a different journey. Yeah. And removing sort of that label of not superiority, but like better than, like she's better than me, you know, and allowing people to feel more confident in using their voice and their expression, not just, again, through sound, but through words. And even if they don't want to learn light language, it really is a course to empower them to speak what it is that they want and take up space in the world, because I was so scared to do that for so long, you know, that now that I am feeling like I'm taking space up, it feels really good. It feels really empowering. And I'm not so scared to actually be seen by people. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. That's really healing. And that's the expansion that I was speaking about when we first started our conversation, is feeling that energy, that expansion from within, how much space now you can take up and how much energy and inspiration that you're sharing with others. And I think for all of us, and in different ways, when we are healing or working through something, it can be scary. We go into it with faith, one step at a time. And when we're starting to channel, we feel that come through. And it's like you have a choice. Do you want to proceed or do you want to say no, thank you? But it is a vulnerable space to be in, because channeling in itself can be looked at through so many different lenses, with so many different opinions, and then let alone to bring through something as unique and special as dragons and their light language. I know when this started, you're the first person I'd worked with who had channeled dragons in such a way. And I remember there really wasn't much available to us. You found a couple other channelers that their style seemed really familiar, like it was very, very similar. But I just feel like this was so organic, and you were in the forefront of bringing this information through. And there's a lot of inner growth that comes with that, not just the mechanics and the skills of it, but also the confidence and the determination to move through self-doubt or lack or limitations and really look at it head on. So I really applaud you for that, because it's not easy to be a trailblazer or somebody to just say, okay, spirit, you know, unknown is unknown, but let's go for it. And I did have a question, if you could share with listeners, kind of like comparing or what your thoughts are on the difference when people might go to somebody for either a reading or a healing session, and how the channeling of the dragon supports that. Because some people will go for a reading and then they'll want, you know, English. Mm-hmm. Or if some people come for an energy session, they're thinking Reiki. Mm-hmm. But can you share how your experience and the dragons can support in either or a combined type of setting?
Yeah. When I started offering healing sessions to include dragon energy, there were people who didn't know about dragon energy that came, and they started getting these activations within their body. So I guess what I mean by activations is like something within them like turned on, and literally their bodies are moving like a dragon. You can consider it like serpent, real undulating kind of movements, you know, moving their shoulders and up and down, and then they'll jerk and convulse a little bit like I did too. And those specific, I'll call them types of people that came to my sessions like unknowingly, not really knowing like that, I mean, knowing nothing about dragon energy really, came and they were like, again, kind of having that same activation I did, where it was like, oh shit, what just happened? You know, like, yeah, I know like that was real, but at the same time, was that real? And what do I do with that now? And so when someone comes and has that kind of experience, I feel like spirit is really showing them like there is so much more to their perceived purpose than they can understand right now. But this is sort of like a stepping stone, an introduction for you to be able to feel the power of what's inside you. But also when they're in that process of activation, there's also, you know, it's also healing. When we think about dragon energy, it's pretty big, right? And it's pretty fierce. So when that energy comes into your body, it's really working on a lot of the lower chakras where we hold so much dense energy, and breaking it up so that the things that you keep piling on, the emotions, the feelings, the energy that you don't know what to do with as it keeps piling on, like we a lot of those things we don't need to process. It's just like we didn't know what to do with it. So as, you know, the energy breaks through all of that, you know, I'm just seeing like when you take not a hammer, but something to crush a boulder, those it's no longer a boulder. It's just like all these little rocks. And sometimes the boulder or the rocks that's underneath all of that, as they are turned into smaller pieces, you can start seeing like what's all underneath that. Not me in particular, but more for that person who's in that experience. And so those underlying issues that they've kind of not wanted to talk about or feel, or maybe even forgot about, or oftentimes I see like it's a trauma or an experience or pain that they had, and they've worked on it through therapy and all sorts of things, it actually comes back to show them that there's more. So I see that more often than not, where it's like an issue where they've worked on it. They're like, I've healed from this. And it's not to discourage people. It's just to share with you, there's so many layers to healing. You know, when that same issue comes back, that issue where you feel like you've worked on for so long, it's not a failure. It's a gift. It's a gift for you to be able to release more of that. And anyways, those things come up through sound and light language.
Okay.
And then, because this is a big deal, right? When their body is just moving.
Yeah.
Like it's just moving without them trying to control it or them wanting to for it to move. It's automatically. So they're kind of like trying to process what just happened. So I won't always go into trance after that because that might just be too much for them.
Yes.
So I'll try to then just communicate through them, just like through, you know, streaming or relay channeling, I guess, any significant issues or messages that came through based on their experience there. Or I'll just open it up for questions based on what questions they have, which is like a million things. But sometimes I allow them to lead it versus me just giving them all the answers and the messages, because it's just a lot to process. And I don't even know if I'm answering the question for you, Amy. I guess it just depends on who I'm working with and what experience they're having. Not everybody has that kind of experience where their body moves. I have people who come in and they're just completely still, but they'll have an experience. It's just not the same kind of physical, visceral type of experience that somebody else might have. When they are in that kind of healing, I feel like I can go into trance afterwards. I do tell them what I'm doing, and then I ask for permission, making sure that they're not going to get freaked out by it. And then I'll go through and do the trance channeling, because then I can get more healing out to them through going into trance.
Yeah, no, that was great as far as like answering the question, because when we think of channeling, a lot of times people might think of a Q&A, like a reading, that kind of channeling, and then we flow into light language. But the healing sessions combined with the light language, I've seen you do the work where you are using hands-on healing with the light language and helping them move the energy through the body and release, and it's quite powerful. The codes and the sounds, the tones that come in those experiences that break up the energy. And so as the energy is, you know, moving out, you can see that the energy is flowing up the body or down the body and opening those pathways. And so I could only imagine, you know, for somebody, if this is their first time or they've never heard of or seen an example of such a healing, that it could be very overwhelming. So I do, as you were speaking, I was like, oh, this makes so much sense. Just letting them be with the moment and then ask the questions, because otherwise it's too much, you know, it just feel like so much information coming their way that it would be very overwhelming. Mm-hmm. And then leading into over the years and now developing where they can speak English, how is that? Is that in the healing space? Is it in a sit down, you know, Q&A, ask questions, or how has that been for you?
It's more of just relaying the message through trance. Not too many Q&As unless I'm with like I'll do a Q&A if I'm at retreat and I do the trance channeling. Other than that, I don't do a lot of Q&As because I just want to be able to share the message for that person, that group of people, and let them sit with that. I'm not opposed to the Q&A. I just feel like the Dragon Collective hasn't really wanted to do that. I feel like I've delayed so much of them being able to share that they just, it's almost just like, just let us share the message. Let us share the message through these frequencies, through these vibrations, and they'll get whatever it is that they need. And then when appropriate, we can do the Q&A, not a big deal. I mean, they're not obviously saying that. This is what I'm sensing. Like you know this, Amy, when we're in trance and we're allowing spirit to come in through our body and we're like no longer, our soul has like stepped away. When someone is listening, it's not just the words that they're receiving. Like it is a continued transmission and activation and healing. So for them, it's the easiest way to get that out there too without resistance, because people aren't thinking, you know, continue to heal, continue to like break down these barriers. They're just listening to the words and not thinking so much about like what's going on around their field and within their bodies. So it's their way of kind of like being able to continue to work on the client without it being so obvious.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. And I was also getting and feeling that the Dragon Collective, they like to talk on broad things from a higher perspective, like really all-encompassing. And so, like, correct me if I'm wrong, but just like what I feel and from past experiences, they don't really get into the minutia Q&A because it's almost like in the end, that question really doesn't matter.
Right, right. Like they laugh when people ask, you know, what star realm am I from? They're just like, why does it matter? Like, seriously, think about it. Why does it matter if you're a Pleiadian, Arcturian, whatever? Like, how does that change the way you work in the world, stand in this world, like, formulate decisions? Like, if we remove all of our labels as mom, wife, Arcturian, healer, whatever, how does that change the way we live and make our decisions? Like, does it really impact it all that much? Like, are we really living life based on those labels? I'm like, gosh, that's a good question.
Right.
Like, strip ourselves of all of that, you know? Because that's what they want. They want you to see yourself as a soul and just rip away all those labels with the definitions that you have attached to it, because that's what creates separation. That's what creates the silos. That's what creates the, you know, I'm better than you, I'm more skilled than you, I know more than you, I'm more special, right? So why do people ask, what star realm am I from? Because they want to feel special. There's nothing wrong with that. But you have to think about underneath that question, like, why are you really asking that? Is it truly out of curiosity? Or is it that you don't feel special enough? So this validates your uniqueness, which I get it.
Yeah.
It's me. But yeah, those are the kinds of things that they do talk about.
Yeah. And so what do you feel after developing your connection? And, you know, everything's always moving and changing. But in this period of time, what do you feel some of their main intentions are for coming through right now?
They're looking for more dragon healers similar to the work that I do. Like they want more people who can be able to speak it. They don't have to trance, but they want to be able to speak it and be able to share that frequency with people because it's super activating. It allows people to be able to experience an energy that they haven't before. And that creates the curiosity into exploring that energy more. And the more you work with that energy, the more you come to see how efficient it is with being able to clear the density, with also like being able to use the power within you. So I'm trying to not make it separate, like dragon energy separate from the power that you have within you, because so much of my voice is a part of dragon energy, right?
Yeah.
Like dragon energy is my voice. I've always had this voice, but now feeling so empowered with it, knowing that this is the tool that I can use to transmit And so it's kind of the same thing, is helping people remember what it feels like to use that power within them to be able to, like, I mean, this is a big kind of, I don't know if it's like cliche, but be able to change the world. That has always been a desire of mine. When I turned 18 and I applied for nursing school, I had to go through this interview process, and they asked, like, why do you want to be a nurse? And the first thing that came out of my mouth was I wanted to change the world. Like, as a 10-year-old, I didn't know what that meant, you know? Yeah. I think about that time and I'm like, I really, like, this is a big thing for me. And I don't know if it's going to be like a grand old, like, where, you know, a grand event, you know, I don't think it's going to be like that. It's like, I feel like it's, for me, it's been like hitting one person at a time, but that person that I've worked with, like, I'm like, oh my God, you have to use this energy, like really encouraging them and really helping them feel safe with this energy, helping them work with this energy, because, sorry, I'm kind of like going on a tangent, but yeah. So basically their purpose here is to activate other dragon energy healers, other dragon medicine practitioners, whatever you want to call them, because they are here and they're meant to be here to be able to shift the energies, to be able to help people wake up. Not unlike what you're here to do, Amy, it really is just a different form of it, a different style of it, a different energy frequency, but we're all here for the same purpose, because everybody resonates with energies different. Some people may not want to work with galactic energies. Some people really want to work with dragons. Some people just want to work with angels. So it is introducing people to another energy to work with to get to that same goal.
Beautiful. Yes, I can really see that and feel it. And they have, like, the dragon energy is really unique and special. When I've experienced it, it feels like it just cuts right through. Mm-hmm. You know, it goes right to where it's needed, releasing those blocks. And when those blocks and the energy is cleared from within, that's when we can start to feel more light come in, having those aha, that awakening, the expansion, and all this clarity from within. So I'm really happy to have you on today and be able to share and introduce our community members to the dragon energy, the awareness and understanding of it, and a little bit about your experience and how they started making connection with you. I feel we do have a few minutes left, and I feel like we'd be missing a great opportunity, and we have a lot of people probably really interested. So I'm wondering if you could just share, like, a little sample. You don't have to go into trance, but just a sample of, like, what does it sound like? What would they be expecting from dragon light language, the uniqueness of it?
Yeah, I can go into it pretty easily. So, okay, so let's give it an intention. Okay, let's scrub the third eye. Let's scrub the third eye, make it real bright, shiny, so that people can have a lot of clarity and trust in their inner knowing.
Wow. Oh my goodness. That felt amazing. That was so powerful.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
Oh my gosh. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Wow. Like personally, I just want to share, like, it went straight in my third eye, but I guess it's cleared right now because then it went down my vertical power current and all this energy at my heart and then my throat and then back up. So I think that's also something like for everybody to understand that energy is going to go like right where it's needed. And I love the intention of the third eye because that's the pathway that it came in on. Yeah, I'm going to be like buzzing for a hot minute, I think, after. I'll have to let this integrate. I can already feel it. Thank you so much, Teresa. Are there any last words of advice for those that are interested in expanding their vocal channeling or working with the dragons? And then where can everybody find you?
Yeah, I think if you have fear around channeling, like any energies of love and compassion and high frequency vibrations, see if you can translate that fear into joy. Because when you bring the joy, it's so much more fun. You know, like I didn't realize how much more fun it would be once I understood that it wasn't about fear. It was just the fear was there because it was different. So if we can shift that energy from fear to joy, or even be able to change the interpretation of what you're feeling instead of fear, you know, into excitement, and then that excitement into joy, it will help to open up your heart and also create some allowance for you to be able to experience the frequencies of dragons or the star seeds or the archangels or the fairies, whatever it is that you are wanting to channel. And then in terms of dragons, just think about my story, you know, like it can't get weirder than that. Like people are just like, I'm so scared because my gifts are so weird. I'm like, listen, my tongue moves in all sorts of places for people to see, you know, like that, it cannot get weirder than that. Although I did see someone that was, one was really weird, but I mean, I'm just saying someone's going to be weirder. There's always going to be weirder things than the things that you do, and know that it's coming up right now. That message for you to show up is coming right now because it's all in the timing of asking those people who are meant to assist with this evolution and expansion of consciousness and getting with this new earth energy and helping us step into the golden age. Like we need you. We need you. So work on understanding why that fear is there, change it into excitement and see where that goes. I can't remember what that last question was, but if you want to work with dragon energy, understand it, connect with it. I'm happy to assist with that. I have monthly dragon energy sound activations where we do light language. The dragons will come in to do light language and then they trance at the end. And that's super affordable. You can find that on my website. And then I have two programs that I offer. One is the light language and vocal expansion course where you're allowing yourself or learning how to open your vocal channel to express physically or express through words and through light language. And then the last one is my dragon medicine practitioner program, which I offer right now just once a year. If you're interested in that, there's an application process, and we can talk about that if that is something that you feel called to do. And you can find me on all social channels, same name, Teresa Wynn Speaks. That's it. And my website's the same, teresawynnspeaks.com.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, Teresa. I'm just so grateful that we had the opportunity to connect today and to share your light and magic with the world. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you so much for having me and for allowing me to share all about dragons and everything that I've experienced with them.
You're welcome. And thank you to all of our viewers and listeners for joining us for another episode of the Spirit and Soul Healing Show. I look forward to seeing you again on the next one. Bye. Hope you enjoyed this episode of the Spirit and Soul Healing Podcast. When you leave a review and take a screenshot of it, you can send it my way at thespiritandsoulhealingpodcast@gmail.com. And in exchange, I would love to send you a guided meditation to strengthen, clear, and balance your chakras.